and here we go with another edition of We Talk Wrestling with Addy and Mo. Hey yo, I'm Addy.
Hey yo, I'm Mo. And was that the Owen song?
The which?
The Owen song.
Yes.
I thought we were opening up with my theme song from now on. You know, Guns of Personality.
No.
Look in my eyes. What can you see?
Yeah, we would definitely not start with that.
I fucked Daddy's mom not two times, but three. Just last night. I'm the gunt of personality. The gunt of person. No?
Should we restart the show?
All right, let's just talk some fucking wrestling.
Thanks, everyone, for staying with us.
Usual train wreck radio. That is the We Talk Wrestling tradition.
Yes.
Either way, let's go. It's the middle of April. There's 5 feet of snow on the ground. It's a wonderful Calgary, Alberta springtime. Time to talk some wrestling.
Yes, it
is. Oh, by the way, did I say that, Mo?
I think that was implied by Gunt.
Huh.
What do we want to talk about? The big news of the week.
Okay.
The big news of the week. Colt Cabana, the new NWA Heavyweight Champion.
Really?
Moving on. Yes.
Moving on.
Moving on. Monday Night Raw and Blast from the Past Live. Tuesday, SmackDown. Yep. Both sucked a cock.
According to Jim Cornette?
According to me.
According to you. You know what? It's funny because, I mean, you're the ideal audience for that Blast for a Past show.
I am.
Right? You're the guy who watches Vintage as your favorite show.
It is.
The old school Raw is like your favorite thing. I'm not so much into these things. I like them, but I don't really have the same nostalgia feeling for things that you do.
Yeah.
Because I can just go and watch on YouTube whenever I want. But I come in tonight, you're watching a Superstars on YouTube
Superstars.
From 1992.
Yes.
You know? So you're the ideal one, and even you thought that sucked a cock.
Nails made his debut on that episode that I was watching.
Yes. Speaking of sucking cock.
Yes. Vince McMahon. But, do you want to go, why don't we go with the Blast from the Past, then?
You want to do.
I don't know that we really need to talk too much about each individual show. I mean, quite frankly, what we look at now is the fact that WrestleMania is over.
Yeah.
So the focus that you get from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania, the television for those first, really, say, 3 months of the year actually has a point.
Yeah.
Because they're building to things. The Elimination Chamber wall, not as important as it used to be in previous years in terms of things, still plays a role on that, you know, the road to WrestleMania, you call it, right? So the Royal Rumble, building to the Royal Rumble, and then having the Royal Rumble winner gets to be in the opening match at WrestleMania. You have that, so there's a point. And then you have the Elimination Chamber where, again, there's that. And then all the TVs in between are leading and building all these matches. Well, Mania is over, and now it's a combination of some of the new stuff. Some's working, some's not. And really, just going back to that pointless monthly pay-per-view shit.
Thing is, it doesn't have to pull an Addy's mom just because it's outside of WrestleMania.
But it's going to.
But yeah, it's going to, but it doesn't have to.
I know.
There's been years where
it's
been good
that.
Cutting out of WrestleMania, not sucking a cock.
You know that. My dog would just come over, he knows that.
He knows a lot more than
he's
one of
Willie
us.
Speaking of sucking a cock. But
that's just so when you pet your dog, you're hoping girls will walk by and go, "Can I pet your dog?" And you'll say, "Yes, his name is Willie. Feel free and pet my Willie."
Would you like to pet my Willie?
Yeah.
I've only been slapped twice.
Well, that's pretty good.
I know, that is, actually.
But how many times have you been slapped for saying that?
Hmm? Oh.
Lots more.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But we all know, but it is what it is. And that's the reality of what we're faced now, is that Raw and SmackDown concurrently are sort of the puppies that lost their way here. And we're not going to get that every segment has a point television that we get in the first 3 months.
I do think that part of this is because you're in the middle of debuting new characters at the same time as continuing feuds. So you're I mean, it'd be one thing if things actually did culminate at WrestleMania and you had a clean slate and you did the draft fucking right away and all
right.
that stuff. But instead what you got is this kind of, hey, we're debuting new characters, but we also have these feuds to continue, so we don't have anybody for these new characters to interact with right away,
mm-hmm.
and yet we have to try and get these guys over while keeping up the feud because we don't know what else to do with the guys coming out of WrestleMania. And so there is a lack of focus, which is funny because theoretically, which is hysterical, because theoretically, coming out of WrestleMania, your second biggest match that you could possibly put together is happening at the next pay-per-view. And yet you still don't have any focus. And when you do something good with that, you proceed to spend the next hour and 45 minutes of your show fucking up what you did in the first segment.
That was the one thing that I did. I mean, Cena getting his mouth busted open
mm-hmm.
was...
What do you think that was hard way or was that on purpose? Or does it even matter?
I don't think... To me, it doesn't even matter. I just think it was he come up from the thing... And he's got that smile on his face with the blood, and it worked.
It was great
visual.
Yeah.
And then they prolonged the pull apart.
Yeah.
Prolonged the pull apart. I mean, and then, you know, then we got Lesnar afterwards doing a promo later.
Mm-hmm. Which he shouldn't do.
And then we got...
He should be like Goldberg and Samoa Joe when they're most over, not promoing.
Well, but even if he's going to speak, maybe next week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what we got was we got the pull apart,
mm-hmm.
we got the promo,
mm-hmm.
and we got him kicking him in the nuts and F5ing him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we got a month worth of television on Monday.
Yeah, and we also got a Cena promo and a Cena match, both of which weren't very, very good. And, you're right, we got maybe more than a month.
Yeah, like, I mean, so... That was my problem with it, is that, and not to say that, you know, the fact that here we are, I understand they're going to the Extreme Rules in 2 weeks from now with a match. With a
Lesnar. Is it 2 weeks?
It's 2 weeks. It's April 29th. So, it's...
oh, that's right.
Yeah. And that's, we're going to that match, and rightly or wrongly, I mean, that's, I'm not even going to go with that argument. I'm just going to go ahead and say that with that much, even now, what do you do next week? And what do you do? Like, if you had...
Well, next week's in London, so you're not going to have the two of them interact, right?
Well, apparently Lesnar's going.
What?
Apparently Lesnar's going to be in London. I would have thought that would be the one that he misses, right? When they're talking about all his, you know, like he's got 30 dates, let's say, for the year.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, they're going to England. Makes sense that he wouldn't be there because he doesn't like to travel.
Yeah.
But apparently he's going to be there. Now, I don't know if he's going to be on the show maybe live via tape, if like, you know, on the Titantron kind of thing. That would be what I would suspect and presume, but from all indications, he's going.
But here's how I viewed Raw. You shot a money angle.
And then I watched Raw.
Well, at the beginning of the show, they shot a money angle.
Oh, they did. Okay.
In the first segment. And then they proceeded to spend the rest of the show going, holy shit, we just made ourselves money. We don't want to do that, so let's chip away at the money angle. And that's how it felt to me. The rest of the show felt like it was chipping away at what the opening segment had set up.
Yeah.
If that was the go-home angle, and we hadn't seen the two of them interact except for cutting promos on each other, and that was the go-home angle, forget the low blow, but the opening angle was the go-home angle
right,
on the final show.
Yeah.
Money, right?
Yeah.
But you've made money, and it's like they don't want to do that, and they don't know how to do that, so let's chip away. And you chip away at it with how you present the other performers, with how you present the Three Stooges, with how you present the Cena match that comes up, with how you present the low blow and the F5. All of it just chipped away, so at the end of the show, I'm not left thinking about the best part of the show, which is the opening. I'm left thinking about the other hour and 45 minutes worth of shit.
And I totally forgot about that, but you just said that, too, when you say what they did in the opening.
Yeah.
And, you know, well, we get a viewer discretion as advised warning up here in Canada. The
mm-hmm.
following program may contain scenes of violence. Viewer discretion is advised. Then immediately we get, like, it's not Doink the Clown's music, but it's pretty damn close. King, the Three Stooges are here.
Yeah,
and I don't even think the credits aired, or the opening, you know, montage with the Nickelback thing aired yet. And yep. they're like, the fucking Three Stooges are here. Like, Brock Lesnar just F5'd John Cena and kicked his hat to end last week's Raw.
Yeah.
And the fucking Three Stooges are here.
Yeah.
Woo! Like, yeah. And that was sort of my problem with, you know, and
you
then...
You just don't get it.
Brock Lesnar talking about... What did he keep? Legitimacy is back. Right? John Laurinaitis wants to bring legitimacy back, so I'm back. Right?
Huh.
But you can't bring legitimacy back on the same program that has the Three Stooges and Lord Tenzai on it.
You
can't do it.
It's so true. You know what?
You know, this part's legitimate, guys.
Yep.
This part, though.
And then we're going to have a lot of fun with you.
Yeah. That's the problem, is you can't do it.
No, they really, to me, it's like, in the past, when you had a big match, and promoters had a big match in wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and say they had 6 weeks, they'd be going, I don't know if that's enough time. I'd like 3 months.
Yeah.
Now they're sitting there going, holy shit, 6 weeks, that's too much time.
Yeah.
We don't know how to, that's too much time to promote a match. They want preferably one show, maybe two shows to prefer promote a match, but that's not ideally how promotion works.
No.
So they're sitting there, and I don't know if this is so much... I don't know if this is if this is the style of booking they're doing, or this is simply the lack of intelligence, of understanding of booking, or what it is. But all I know is that they sit there, and with the more time they have to promote a match, the worse the promotion is, because they fuck it up instead of having more time and seeing the positives and knowing how to build it properly, like promoters used to do.
Well, and we might as well, I might as well mention this now, the preliminary estimate for WrestleMania buy rate in just the United States alone is 636,000 buys.
Pretty damn close to what I said.
Well, this is just the United States, though.
Yeah,
so it's probably going to tack closer to 700,000 when you add in, you know, Canada, right?
Pretty close to what I said.
So it's a matter of...
This is about me, right?
Who?
This everything?
All I'm saying is that was based on a one-year build. For a match.
Sorry, I'm sorry. I wasn't
drinking
listening
to your girly drink there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I wasn't listening to you. Did you say chicken wings?
All we're saying,
I hear people talk about chicken wings all day long.
Chicken wings. But all this does is it means that they've taken nothing from something that worked.
Yeah.
They've had a 1 year build, something that worked.
But here's the thing about that 1 year build, and you say it's something that worked. This year's build was better than the previous year, because the previous year's build for WrestleMania was shite.
Oh, it was awful, yeah.
Beyond belief. This year's build, like the previous year's build, I would give a 2.5, 3 out of 10. This year's, I would give a 6 out of 10. If these are the numbers they got, it's because Rock and Cena was once in a lifetime and people wanted to see The Rock in this situation.
Right.
It wasn't because it was a great promotion. If they had done a 10 out of 10, what do you think they could have got? They could have gotten a million in North America alone.
Oh, probably, but I mean, it's...
So you can't sit there and say this is something that worked and they should learn from it. No, this is something they had. They had that match. This is not something they did properly.
Yeah, but they can have another match. See, the thing that Brock Lesnar brings with him, or brought with him, probably past tense now...
Because they put him with Johnny Ace.
...is the big fight feel.
Yeah.
He is... He brings along what more than... The same as Mike Tyson brought. More than what a Floyd Mayweather. What Floyd Mayweather brings.
Frankly.
What Floyd Mayweather brings to boxing fans, but not to normal people.
No, but frankly, Austin and Rock brought that in their era.
Yes.
There was,
that's
what Goldberg's draw was. Yes. When he was done properly, it was a big fight feel for him coming out.
Yes.
Like, that's.
But that's something you can have for a year.
Yeah.
Is someone that has a big fight feel. Or.
Especially if he's only going to have three or four fights.
Or, again, yes, if he can have three or four. Well, no, but we talk about he's going to have three or four fights. Well, here we are. And who knows?
Already being too physical.
But he's having one in 2 weeks. He's 3 weeks into this shit.
Yeah.
And he's having a fight.
Yeah.
So when we're talking, he's only going to have three or four. He's probably, when we're talking 30 dates, you know, 15 of those are probably going to be fucking fights. He's probably going to be, I could say, in December.
Well, if you say he's going to London, then all bets are off. Then all of a sudden, I don't know what the fuck's happening.
I think in December. Actually, you know what they'll do, because they like to do this? In November, the go-home show for Survivor Series. Right now, I'll predict Brock Lesnar has a match on Raw. that's the way that they're going.
Remember when they had The Rock versus Hogan? So the week, what was it, a week or two beforehand, they had a tag team match with the two of them. So they got in the ring together.
The NWO against Austin and Rock in a handicap.
And Hogan pinned The Rock. And you know what? Instead of it making you want to see that match more, it already took a bit of the shine off that. And that, you're right, that is what they do.
Yeah, but I think that...
TNA here is tomorrow night having what is their second biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Probably tonight by the time most people...
By the time we're recording this, it's almost already midnight our time, you're right. So tonight they're having their second biggest event of the year. Kind of like, well, technically it's promoted as the third biggest, but it's like the Royal Rumble is technically... The second biggest for WWE. Lockdown, technically, according to their buys, the second biggest one. Second biggest show. And they have Bobby Roode versus James Storm, a match we should be really, really into for the world title. They should have built up to it. But they had that match against each other for no reason to set up another match weeks ago on television.
Right.
Like, it's the same idea. We got to fill time. We don't know what to do. We'll throw this out there, and then we'll figure it out later.
Yes. Yeah. You know? That's it exactly. I mean, but part of me wonders on this as well. And whether that
by the way is probably all the TNA talk you'll get, because we don't care about lockdown.
No,
we should, but we don't.
No, I don't really know. RVD is back, apparently. He's going to be on team.
I think Hardy and Jarrett are having a match. Hardy and Angle. Yeah, sorry. But I said to you that tomorrow night is lockdown. You're like, really?
Huh.
Yeah.
I forgot.
They failed to promote properly and at all create any buzz for us individually. Nevertheless, for everybody else.
The thing is, I'm warmer to TNA, but I'm still not in the habit of watching TNA yet.
Yeah, and I probably don't have the same violent venom towards them that I
don't.
Had once.
I don't. But
I'm not interested to watch.
Apathy.
It's apathy.
Point,
it's
right. Which is an improvement.
That is an improvement,
but it's still not good.
It's still not good. Yeah.
But,
so, anyways, go on.
I don't even remember. No. The only line of thinking that I've got here is that if you are going to try to blow your load, as it were, with getting...
I did that already.
Yes.
Thanks, Sir Mom.
You're welcome. With your pay-per-view buys. If they firmly in their heart of hearts believe that they're launching a network in the fall. I know. If they believe that.
They don't.
Right? If they believe that, then again, that's a different dynamic.
They can't even get fucking Legends House sold to a network.
Yes, I'm aware. No, I know. I know. I'm just saying that here's your Vince is going... We're going to have a network come the fall. Let's maximize our pay-per-view buy with having Lesnar on, striking while the iron's hot, having him on over the summer on the pay-per-view, because come the fall, the Hell in the Cell and the Vengeance and the TLCs, all of that's going on the network. So there's not going to be any buys there.
Well, here's the problem with that. Number one, it's still going to be available for pay-per-view because there's going to be a lot of markets which aren't going to have that network. So they still will be selling that product on a lot of places. They still, tell you the truth, their buys probably won't go down that much if this network actually does launch, because not many people are going to have that network still.
Well, okay? That's
number one. Number two is, you're right in what you said, if that is Vince McMahon's idea.
that is the right way to do it if they are launching that network.
Right.
But here's what you do. Then you have really good promotion that makes me want to fucking pay to see Extreme Rules, not what you gave me this week.
Well, no, I understand that. I'm just, but in terms of my biggest kind of thing with it is just that, like, really? Extreme Rules is going to have Brock Lesnar on it? Really?
Yeah.
Like, and like, because we talk about a big fight feel, that's a very easy way to kill a big fight feel, is to have him on Extreme Rules and Over the Limit.
Yep.
Right? I mean, it's just, oh. And maybe, just maybe, he will be, Brock Lesnar will be at No Way Out in June.
We can hope.
Have you heard of No Way Out?
Is that what they're calling it again?
Well, the return of No Way Out to pay-per-view this June. Okay, is a gimmick pay-per-view. Okay.
Really?
Yes. And the...
They're going to try a gimmick pay-per-view. That'd be
I know. The theme?
Yeah.
No Way Out.
Uh-huh.
I don't have the verbiage in front of me, but it's, you know, No Way Out became famous for its cage matches, which, of course, had the that's where the chamber... found a home, because that was the Elimination Chamber was in February, which was No Way Out. They also, I think, were maybe referencing that they had the cage with the barbed wire on top with Big Show and JBL that one time. Famous or not, fine. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
They're taking it to
a, stretch,
a new. They're taking it to a new thing. Well, there will be no escape. Lumberjack matches, strap matches, chain matches, and handcuff matches.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No, I'm not. I'm not kidding. This was the press release thing for No Way Out. So that's
cut the show off. I give up.
Tap tap tap-a-roo. that is No Way Out.
Oh,
coming to a pay-per-view near you. In
hey, what we're gonna have is a bunch of matches that are all the exact same. Call it something different.
Well, no, one will be a strap match. Maybe Savio Vega will come back for the Kirby of the Strap Match.
Back strap match, yes, yes. Oh, then we can have that spot where, you know, both are hitting the corners at the same time, and heel doesn't know the babyface is hitting it behind
one,
him.
1-1, which is supposed to cancel each other out, but
yeah, who gives
doesn't.
A fuck?
Oh,
you have to think that.
Yes.
Oh, my God, I don't want to watch No Way Out.
No. No, but you know what? Because
when it was
a
No Way Out,
we talk wrestling. You got no way out of it.
Here's the thing is, when you told me that this was No Way Out and that the idea was that there was no way out,
right.
I thought they were just going to show a video of what's his name, trying to get out of the cave. Who was it? It was on
TNA. Homicide?
Homicide, that was it.
Yes.
Homicide trying to get out of the cave on the live Impact when they debuted.
Red,
that red, what
name.
Do you call it, this, asylum or whatever they
called
it.
They called it, yeah.
I think something like that. Yeah, he was trying to get out and he couldn't get out. But then they don't have footage for that. But they will when they eventually buy TNA.
Yes, yes. Maybe by June.
Maybe. It would not surprise me.
That is possible.
Yeah, that joke would have been funny if I could remember the fucker's name.
Who? Homicide?
Huh? Homicide.
Oh. Anyway. Raw. 3.1 rating.
Yeah.
Well, you'd mentioned to me earlier you had a comment about the rating.
Again, I hear this 3.1 rating, and this really pisses me off because I hear people that I really, really respect in the industry, Dave Meltzer and Meltzer and Powell and
me,
the Shark Sean Williams,
Addy. And what are they saying?
Wait, Keller. Anyways, these guys are all like, oh,
people
they're so
disappointed. People you respect and Wade Keller?
People I respect and you.
Two D's in that name. A-D-D-I-E.
A-D-D? That actually explains a lot. A-D-D.
I-E.
Yeah, A-D. All right. So, anyways, what the fuck was I saying? Yeah. So, anyways, people are talking about how disappointed the WWE is with the ratings, and this is such a huge disappointment that Rock hasn't moved enough. Brock hasn't moved the numbers and this and that. And I've heard a lot of talk like this. Now,
and that.
when the company is going well, what would you say the rating is? What's a rating for a strong WWE?
Well, what do you mean?
If the WWE was doing well, not not through the roof, but doing well, doing very strong, how much would their rating be?
If they're not through the roof, they're just doing...
Just doing really, really solid business.
I would say 3.8.
3.8, okay. And if they're doing really, really awful business, they're going through the roof, what is it?
Oh,
4.5?
Say 6.
Yeah, 4.5. I'm still saying realistic.
Well, if they're through the roof...
Okay, through the roof. Okay, well, I just mean 4.5, though, would be very well from 3.8 still.
Sure.
Okay, through the roof would be a 6.
4 or 5 is more than 3.8.
Did they ever do a 6? I guess they probably were at one point, doing pretty close to that.
They were doing 7s, actually, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, so there you go. So let's just say, though, 3.8. That would be a strong number. So how many millions of viewers is that?
I don't know.
Make a guess.
So
we're doing a 3.1 right now, and we're doing a 3.8. So that 0.7 is how many million different? A million?
Say
1 million, 1.1.
1.5, sure, okay. I don't know.
Probably between a million, million and a half.
Okay.
Isn't that the exact same amount of people that are watching it on PVR, torrents, download sites, YouTube, Dailymotion? The way people have... We've gone over this before.
I know.
But it's not a bad rating.
Well, see, here's your thing, though, is that the number 1 point? And that's the point, is... I don't know.
But I do know
that.
You
don't know.
Okay, no, I know this.
Nobody knows.
But I know, well, that's the difficulty they're having. Nobody can quantify. You used to have, the way that media is distributed and viewed is different. But people are still using the same model to decide how popular a product is, which is not what you can do anymore.
No,
but. I can go on YouTube right now. One of the YouTube videos, there's the entire WWE Raw show, because I looked this up for 2 hours, has 270,000 views. Okay.
Right.
Okay. Another one had 150,000. Okay.
Yeah.
Another one had 90,000. Right there, that's 500,000 people that have watched the product on YouTube alone. You throw in those other sites. What I'm saying to you is they don't have less viewership than they had when the product was going really well. They have the exact same amount. It's just the viewers now grab their media through other alternative methods, and the company and also these journalists aren't understanding that. And adjusting that you can no longer quantify it by the same means.
Here's the
and that,
problem.
This is, okay,
here's
what
the
is
problem.
The problem?
Here's the problem, and this is the.
I only watch on YouTube. You DVR.
Yeah, no, I know, but this the I don't say the flaw in your argument because the logic is sound, and the numbers are the numbers of the. You know, no one quite knows exactly what the numbers are.
Well, you can see the amount of views on YouTube for that.
Sort of. But,
well, you can. You can see the views.
Yeah.
You can't guarantee that people went all the way through and watched
that's
it.
That's what I'm saying.
But you can't guarantee that also when they're watching at
well,
home.
You can,
well,
you can because you get the quarterly and the minute by minutes and all that. So there's a little more quantifiable there. The fact
but I can
is,
tell you this.
No, but here's
but
your problem, though.
The 8-minute Brock bloodying Cena has 500,000 views by itself.
Yeah, okay.
So the things that are selling money are still getting the most views, are being watched the most, and still the potential to sell the money.
Or I
can there's just as many or more viewers than there ever has been. So don't tell me that there's less and the product is on a downward spiral based on viewership.
There's less and the product is on a downward spiral because the product sucks shit. Seriously. How many people do you know? Okay, let's go when they were doing fives and sixes. How many people come over and watch pay-per-views? Right?
Yeah.
How many people come over and watch pay-per-views now?
Mm-hmm.
B. That's it. Me, you, and
different
me are watching. No, it's not. The
it
product
is.
Sucks cock. And the fact is that nobody gives a fuck about it. So the fact that the rating is down is somewhat reflective of the fact that
no,
nobody...
No, it's not, because the same
fucking
amount of
retard. You moron! You can't fucking say that! Nobody gives a fuck about this show. Nobody's buying the fucking shows. Nobody's watching the fucking show on television. The fact that the fucking show is down... It means that nobody gives a fuck about it. Are there alternative mokers, how hocus pocus methods of I'm Mo and I'm Mr.
Fact.
Internet and this is
fact.
Yes, they're all fucking, no, it's not fact because you can't, again, you already admitted you can't quantify fucking bullshit. All I can quantify is that I walk down the goddamn street, the fucking Saddle Dome does not sell out, the buildings don't sell, people aren't buying tickets, people aren't paying pay-per-views, and the fucking ratings are down, less people are watching the fucking show.
They're not.
That's what I'm saying. But the other thing that you don't know, you can't say that.
I can't say that.
Okay, let's just fucking, let's be New Jack and call a fucking spade a spade. And 90 million people every week are watching the show on the internet because Mo told them to.
That's hardly it.
The show fucking sucks. The product is stale, cold,
that's true.
A downward spiral.
But I didn't say that. But here's the thing. Now that you've completely peaked and ruined
the
quality of the show.
The quality of the show was ruined the second you opened your mouth.
Here's the problem with what you're saying. I never said that pay-per-views weren't down or buildings weren't down or anything like that or sales of shirts weren't down. I said your weekly viewers watching Raw is about the same as what it was when the product was doing well.
Maybe.
It is. Because you can look, like you say, I can count up 500,000 views of the full show alone. Like I said, I'm not even throwing in all the other stuff. You're going to tell me there is, I'm going to guarantee you, now some of this isn't just North America, so this is worldwide. I'm going to guarantee you there's 1.5 to 2 million more people watching on the internet than once did weekly for Raw and SmackDown. These numbers are there. I'm not saying the pay-per-views are buy, but the reason why pay-per-views aren't being bought and the reason people aren't paying for live shows anymore is a different matter. That's because society has changed.
No.
It's the same. Yes, let me finish. No, that is because society has changed. People aren't going to pay for these things because people now do not expect to pay for things like they used to. They don't expect to pay for music. They don't expect to. If you go on your iPhone, if you're going to go on your iPhone, you're going to charge $1.99 for a great game that people can get 100 hours worth of gameplay. You're not going to be able to sell it, even though it's only $2. But if you give it away for free and offer some in-game incentives in order to be able to sell it, then you have a chance, and you can probably get 1 million downloads in a week compared to 300 to 500 downloads. It's because the people's mentality has changed so much for what they will and won't pay that things like that's what's affecting things like pay-per-view buys, that's what's affecting things like house show attendance. But as far as weekly viewership on Raw, on SmackDown, that's about the same as what it once was. Now, I'm not saying that means the product is hot. I'm not saying that means that they've gone through the roof. I'm just saying that I'm sick and tired of people looking at a 3-1 and saying, boy, they should be disappointed that Lesnar didn't move the ratings. He's not going to. And let me tell you something. 2 years from now, they'll probably be doing a 2-8. And guess what? When they're doing a 2-8, they're going to have the same amount of viewers or possibly more than they have today at 3-1 because it's just changing. That's all.
But they should be disappointed that Brock Lesnar isn't moving the number. And that's because...
Not if he's getting 500,000 people watching him on YouTube on one clip alone.
Yes, they should, actually. Because the point of this, dick fuck, is that having Brock Lesnar and having The Rock, who also didn't move the rating. Okay?
Exactly.
They were disappointed is that part of that is that...
And yet he moved the ratings on pay-per-view buys on WrestleMania. So
part of it, though...
So that, again, proves that I'm correct. No, it does, because, yes, it does, but it again proves I'm correct, because people did pay. The viewership was there. The viewership was the same. They could look at the ratings and go, right, like, you were looking at WrestleMania and making a prediction of below 1 million, and you were basing it off of ratings.
I was basing it off buzz, but that I hadn't heard anything, and actually, the last...
And part of that buzz was your ratings. And a lot of people were doing that.
Actually.
A lot of people were saying Rock isn't moving ratings and WrestleMania won't do as well.
My buzz had
and
nothing,
I was saying it had nothing to do with it because people are still looking at ratings.
My buzz had nothing to do with the ratings. My buzz was just chatter and talk and hearing about, you know, talk shows and just paper and just reading about it. Now, that did pick up, you know, come that, say, that Friday. And I was thinking, okay, well, this has got to...
Because I can go back to the shows and play you where you were talking about the ratings and talking about that affecting the buys. So.
Yeah, well, and it does. I mean, to a degree, but I'm not placing
no,
the
it
entire
doesn't,
blame
it doesn't.
On it. And you know what? It does.
The Rock will not move ratings because ratings are different. Ratings no longer mean... People are so used to looking at it, I'm sick and tired of it. You can't look at it anymore. That is the worst way to quantify the popularity of a product right now. That's all I'm saying.
But
because it's different. We have a different world.
See now, but you would make a lick of sense if you had a popular product that had a decent rating.
Let's have
a popular product that has a shitty rating.
Let's talk about
give me an example of a popular product in the world that has a shitty rating. I'm not accusing. I just give me an example to back up your point.
I can tell you right now about things that have gone viral on the internet to get more viewers
than anything on television.
Because you're still thinking television. Because you're still
That's what I'm asking you about is give me a popular product that's got a shitty rating.
There is absolutely hockey.
Give me a popular product that has a shitty rating.
Hockey. Yeah.
Hockey's a popular product?
Yeah. Hockey sells out every night. Hockey is...
Woo.
Does. It goes 60 minutes.
It does go 60 minutes.
It sells out. It goes 60 minutes. It sells a bunch of video games. It sells a bunch of merchandise. And guess what? Its ratings are shit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No, that's fine, but in terms of they're a money making operation.
And they are a money making operation, as is WWE. And you cannot and the thing is all I'm saying is their weekly viewership isn't down and you can't look at it the same way and I'm sick of people doing it. But I'm not saying that they're through the roof. I'm not saying that it has a lot of buzz. They did though. What I am saying is that people can't look at Brock not moving these numbers and say that means that there's going to be less pay-per-view buys. Because guess what? There will be more pay-per-view buys with him, and that doesn't mean he's a success or failure. It just means that people are not going to go back to watching TV if they're used to watching it through another method now.
If Brock Lesnar,
TV is passé. TV is the past.
If Brock Lesnar is live on a program, and I am
on the program.
Unbelievably excited to see Brock Lesnar.
Mm-hmm.
Am I going to wait, or am I going to watch him live? If I'm unbelievably excited, I'm going to be watching him live because it's great. Lesnar's here. I'm going to go and I'm going to watch Brock Lesnar because he's live on Raw, and that's what Raw used to do. It was the what's going to happen on Raw. Now, I know you think that this television shit is yesterday's news, and it's going to be, but it's more popular. But the whole point in the fact that you think a 3.1 is meaningless.
It is.
And that's where you're wrong.
No, I'm not.
No, you are, because you're completely because you can't just completely discount something and be wrong. You sound like a jackass.
I can if I can prove it with the other numbers.
Oh, wait, you sound like a jazz right.
I can if I prove it with the other numbers. So all I've done is I've proved Raw had as many viewers this week as when the product was doing well. That's what you said. You said 3.8. No, you said 3.8. You said another million and a half viewers. I pointed out how I can prove 500,000 viewers minimum on YouTube alone. That makes up for the difference that you're looking at. I said there's the same amount of viewers. You can't judge success or failure. Now, you say, yeah, people are going to go in there. If they're excited by Brock, they will turn it on. I suppose.
And people flip in the channels. People,
I suppose, but then again, Brock, I tell you the truth, they might have done a 2-9 without Brock this week, is a thing, right? So
did he move a number?
A little bit, but if they're looking at a 3.7, people aren't just going to get excited. You know what? Even if I'm excited to see Brock, I'm still watching on YouTube.
I understand that the things, well, yeah, because... You would be, even if you're not excited, be watching it on YouTube. So you're kind of not a, regardless.
There's a lot of people like that now. A lot of people
people like you.
There's so many people that they're not going to change their viewing habits for a television show anymore.
No, that's fine.
That's just a change in society. That's a societal change.
Right.
People don't change their viewing habits for television the way they were even a decade or 20 years ago.
All I'm telling you, though, is that if the people are buzzing and talking about Raw, okay? If people are talking about WWE, let's say CM Punk became this great thing that they're talking about in high schools, at the playgrounds, or whatever. If it gets that at the mall, if they get the chatter going, okay? Then you got to do this text and blah blah blah. That rating is not a 3.1. That rating
is
higher.
That's a 3.3.
The rating is higher.
It tops out at a 3.3.
And if you're still watching people that are
what did Rock get at its highest? 3.4? Okay, it tops out at a 3.4. If there's as much buzz as you're saying in high school, it tops out at a 3.4 because people in high school aren't watching television.
Okay. Can we stop talking? I'm sick of talking about this. I knew you were going to try to bring this up and spin this as this genius conversation that I don't really buy or care about, to be quite honest.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. It's a good argument, and I appreciate your point of view. I'll even give you a
don't
fist bump.
Don't touch me.
All right, fuck you. But I will say, all I'm saying is I'm sick and tired of these people looking at the ratings and being disappointed when they're looking at they have a narrow vision of the current media and the way it's distributed and viewed. That's all I said. So anyway, you're the one who went off.
Well, you're the one that, because you skew this number like you've got a clue. You've got an opinion on it.
I don't have an opinion. I fucking did research on it, dickhead. I can prove the fucking numbers to you now. I can go and prove to you the amount of downloads on fucking torrent sites because those numbers are out there.
But
if I fucking wish to look it up, I can look it up and see that 300,000 people have downloaded Raw on fucking Pirate Bay this week, believe it or not.
Oh.
It is there to see.
Oh, it shows that they watched that segment and they watched this segment and they watched the whole show. It shows that?
You know what? No, it doesn't show
that.
Oh. Because you know what?
So it's apples and pears.
It's not apples and
pears. It is. Two sides of the
same. You can guess this. Guess what?
I can click on
Raw. More people are watching Brock Lesnar than Lord Tensei because he draws a higher quarter number. Well, guess
prove
what?
It.
More, but shut the fuck up for a second. Shut the fuck up for a second.
Prove that more
shut
people,
the fuck
prove
up.
That more
shut
people
the
on
fuck
tour.
Up.
Prove that more
shut
people on tour.
Up.
Prove that
shut
more
the
people.
Up.
Prove that more people on torrent or on YouTube have seen the Brock Lesnar.
I already did. I told
you.
800.
Oh.
Here's the thing. You can go look it up right now. Lord Tensei is on YouTube. His
right.
squash match. It has about 10,000 views. Brock Lesnar has about
people. Watch that.
Yeah,
wow.
About 500,000 views.
I didn't
guess what? That fucking proved it. It's the same thing.
That didn't actually prove it.
That did. It's the same thing.
It
that means
you,
that
you're
quarter.
You're a simple
it,
mind, and all I'm saying
oh,
is.
Oh, you're so stupid and behind the times.
Oh, yeah, I'm the one that's behind the times.
Who's
slow rider, Mo?
Oh, he's the guy who beat up Heath Slater.
Yeah. For raping his daughter.
Speaking of which, Mick Foley called Heath Slater's match. Shouldn't it have been Snuka?
I think so. Think so, brother. But nice. Whatever. Next. What else you got? And you want to talk about how people don't listen to things on the radio nowadays?
Well, they don't. They download podcasts.
Oh, yes.
But it's true. People don't listen to the radio anymore. They download podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
They listen to.
I don't understand what your point is. Like that's the part that I'm still struggling with. Is really what your point is.
My point is that I hear people like yourself
like, summarize
say,
your point.
Okay. My point is I hear idiots like yourself say less people are watching, the rating's only at 3.1. When the truth is, less people aren't watching, they're just watching through other methods, and they're too focused in on that, and they need to broaden their scope to see how popular the product is. And maybe if they broaden their scope, they'll still find that it isn't as popular as it once was,
yeah.
But you can't just look at those 3.1 and say, that's it, it's a disappointment.
Well, I agree with you for part of that. I still think, as I said, I think that you can't just use the rating to prove that everything's shit, and that the interest is down from the peak. But you can be disappointed with a decline in ratings.
You can. Let me tell you something. If you draw a 3.1 when you're expecting to draw a 3.6, and then you look over on YouTube and you see Brock Lesnar has only had about 225,000 people watch his segments on YouTube, then you can say, what a disappointment. He's not moving numbers. When you can see people are interested in watching him on your show, even if it's through another method, then you can say, you know what? He is doing something for our product. And so we have to look at the different ways he's doing things for our product. You can't just focus in on the one thing. That's it. That's all I'm saying.
That was
Jesus
stupid.
Christ.
I still think it goes back to the almighty dollar and a 3.6 gets you. You know,
well, that is that,
you're
and that's
right?
The disappointment is that, as I say,
and it,
people
know,
don't want to pay for anything anymore.
Now,
people don't want to pay $2 for an app. People will a million people will buy. You can, like I say, you can sell 500 in a week for $2, or you can sell, or you can move with that a million for $0.
Well, I'm talking about their USA network.
So,
I mean,
I will say
up,
this.
Right?
Yeah, when
and,
that comes
but,
up,
I mean,
the
be,
ratings do matter.
To at least be fair, they have gotten onto the. They've got their YouTube channel.
Yeah.
You know, they're on there, so they've kind of. They have. I mean, well, Lord knows they know about Twitter.
That's true.
But, I mean, they have a YouTube site or channel or whatever you want to call it now. So they're there, and it's so it's they're starting to move over that way. But, I mean, the fact that ratings are continuous to go down, I mean, that's not a good thing.
No, but let's look at it this way. If they're a top 10 cable television show now. They used to be number one.
No, they're a top 25. Yeah, they're top 25. They're not top 10. No, they're 25, yeah.
Okay. All right. But I will guarantee you, I haven't looked this up, but I will guarantee you, whatever's number, what, say, let's number five on the cable network right now, is doing less of a rating than what's doing the one number five was 10 or 15 years ago. Because
that show probably didn't exist. No, really. I mean,
no, no, but I'm saying the show that was the fifth most popular show on cable 15 years ago is doing less of a rating. Just because, like I say, it's a different world.
Well, there's a rating and there's a... See, that's where I look at my whole thing with it is I've tried to stay away from the rating number.
More the viewership.
The number of viewers because there's more channels. All a rating is a percentage of televisions on at the time of watching this, right?
Yeah.
So... That's kind of the...
And that's why I said they're not down on viewers. They're just down on ratings. And they're just... Viewers are different methods.
Well, the viewers are different. And you're talking about the viewers. The only thing that, as I said, the only thing you can you do with the Nielsens is that, as I said, you know...
It sucks for when you're trying to sell your product to a television network and make
money
off
that.
I agree with that.
If someone's watching the whole show, part of the show, if someone just... clicked on a YouTube link and clicked off it really quick, that counts, right? So, I mean, when you're doing all that, you got to factor kind of all that in. And you're also going to factor in the same person that watched Raw maybe live, clicked on that. I would click on that Brock Lesnar thing and watch that punch again, right?
Yep.
So there's duplication, and that's what you...
And there's also people that take things like that and put that into Facebook and say, hey, friends, you got to see this, which is an easier way to do it in this current world than it was when you used to have to go to your work and say, you got to see this Steve Austin guy.
Yes, that's very true. But at the same point, and again, the fact that the product is cold, this we can hold this truth.
I'm not going to say the product isn't down. I'm just saying the viewership on Raw isn't down the same way people say. That was all I was ever saying. Holy fuck, can you ever twist things? Can we get off this? That's what your mom said. But,
oh, yeah.
Or that's what I said to her. Or, wait. But anyways, let's move on.
Her strap on. Anyway, you had a question if you want to lighten up the mood here.
I had three questions. Which one do you want me to do?
Goddamn bullshit.
This thing. Is one. I do have a question.
Can I finish up with the when we're talking about the quote of the product?
Yeah.
$8.11 will buy you a share of WWE stock at their 52-week low. Just wanted to mention that.
Whatever, that's the stock market. That's a whole other thing.
Yeah, it's a whole other thing.
It is. That is.
That's not just on their product.
That's, you would know more about this, but that's also...
Of course
How's the strength of actually the stock market right now? I actually don't know.
What?
Right now, what is the strength of the stock market?
It's fairly good. The fact is that they're almost at 52-week lows. They're at... XFL-like lows, the WWE, in terms of their share price.
But, you know, but again, I never said that they weren't.
No,
I'm just... I said viewership for Raw.
Throwing that out because it was a little tidbit that I had that seemed kind of connected, close to this. So.
All right, here's a question. I got three questions this week.
Okay, well, and then I've got some good news, too.
All right, good. You mean like how Punk is coming around on The Rock and thinks he's a good guy now?
Yeah, they're great people.
Douchebag. Let's go. All right. Well, one question I had was from somebody called Hardcore Hori.
Oh.
So it might have been your mom.
It could have been.
Yeah. So anyways, he's wondering, based on last week's show, who the fuck is Mel Phillips?
What?
Addie?
What?
Based on last week's show, we referenced Mel Phillips, I guess, like three or four times.
Oh.
And his exact quote was, who the fuck is Mel Phillips?
Oh, who the fuck is Mel Phillips? Mel Phillips was a ring announcer. He was a black ring announcer. That he's a black ring announcer. I think the biggest Terry Funk chased him away, and the Junkyard Dog came to his rescue, and that would actually kind of like kicked off their feud.
Mm-hmm.
In I think the summer of 86.
He worked with WWF.
For WWF anyway, and then he apparently WWF as well in the 80s used to have, ring boys, as it were. Younger boys, teenagers that would, you know, haul the stuff and help set the ring up and do some stuff. Anyway, Mel Phillips molested them.
Allegedly. Or was he convicted?
I don't know. I didn't think it was alleged. I didn't think it was.
So when we sit here and we make jokes about Rob Feinstein, and maybe we have to tell people who he is sometime too.
Yeah.
But that's the reason why that's the jokes on Mel Phillips for us is he molested young boys.
Yes.
Always hilarious.
Watching some vintage today actually, and during an Ultimate Warrior Ravishing Rick Rude match.
Yeah.
Gorilla and Lord Alfred Hayes were making Terry Garvin jokes, also accused of molesting the boys in the same scandal. It was Pat Patterson, yeah. Terry Garvin, and Mel Phillips.
Exactly. This was about the same time as a lot of stuff would
come out in the early 90s.
Titan Towers, yeah. And Pat Patterson was rehired. Ronnie Garvin was brought. Terry Garvin was brought back much later.
Yeah.
But
that was a tough time. That scandal. You know what the ratings went down.
And back then...
And no one was watching on YouTube.
Nobody was watching on YouTube back then. You could actually judge it back then. All right. I got another question from True Dat Fat. True Dat Fat.
True Dat Fat. Okay.
True Dat Fat is wondering because we had mentioned how Abraham Washington had approached Mark Henry, and they said on SmackDown he had approached other wrestlers. He's wondering who
like
we would
Mel
like
Phillips.
To... he approached young boys. But he was wondering who else we would like to see in a AW stable.
Well, obviously, other than Mark Henry, I would assume.
Yeah, I would assume Mark Henry's in there. But
yeah.
It doesn't have to be, but I would assume.
Yeah. Well, and I think Mark Henry would maybe be there. See, to me, I always liked, and again, it's kind of that... the four horsemen type mentality that I like. That's how I like my stables. I've always, or even like a Dangerous Alliance had a lot of them that way. The Heenan family, not so much. The Heenan family just kind of was around and there. But I always like. I think you have your main event guy. You can have an upper mid guy, or you can just have like an intercontinental U.S. type guy. You have your tag team, and then you have one other guy, like an enforcery guy that doesn't need a belt, right? That's kind of how I looked at what would make up when I figure this kind of stable out. But I would think, Mark Henry obviously would be your top of the bill guy, right?
Yeah, he'd be your.
I don't know, maybe Hunico and Camacho. Could be a tag team,
okay.
In there, because they don't really have any, tag teams.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who an enforcer type guy would be. Maybe you could, if you want to try Mason Ryan. You know he can't or Zeke, one of the two, right? Somebody like that.
Kind of filling the same role as a Henry, though.
What
about Wade Barrett? Yeah. Wade Barrett's somebody I would like to see in there personally.
Well, see, but Wade Barrett can talk.
Yeah.
And I don't think he needs a manager.
I suppose, but you know
but
what?
But I guess Mark Henry can talk, too.
Yeah, exactly. Ravishing Rick Rude. Kurt Hennig.
Yeah, the Rick
had Bobby
Rude,
Heenan.
That's true.
And they could talk, right?
Bobby, Kurt Hennig had John Tolos, Bobby Heenan, and Lanny Poffel, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
You know, at different times.
Yeah.
So, no, that's true. That is very true. But the thing is with that, but that's a different dynamic because Heenan was essentially your top heel. Uh-huh. So by pairing Henning, even though he could talk, you were actually kind of giving him that Heenan rub.
That's true.
And so that's a little different. That's one way to do it. But Abraham Washington, not there. Michael Cole, as a manager, being a top heel, he would be a guy where you could take a... someone that could talk, and you could put them, say, with Michael Cole at that time where you'd be, because that would give them that kind of upper rub there. But the fact is, it's speaking of Mel Phillips, but...
upper rub?
Or lower rub. but I think you got, right now, Abraham Washington, you're going to give him Mark Henry, and then you're going to have maybe a couple other guys. So maybe a Drew McIntyre.
I think you just need somebody else who, I think if Mark Henry is the guy who you go, that's the world title guy, I think you need somebody else about that same level, so that's why I looked at Wade Barrett.
Right.
because that way you can split them off, and you, or then when Henry is defeated, you have somebody else legit who can come in right behind him and challenge, say, a Punk or Cena, whoever the title is.
You can do that and do the whole, I mean, they've got that Swagger. Basically, they have Swagger and Dolph, you know, did it, dropped, that. But you could always go back to that. So I think you see that there. With Mark Henry, if he fails and they're going to turn him face, you just have, if you're going to do, say, Wade Barrett, you just have Wade Barrett come out and destroy Mark Henry after a match or from behind with a loss, and have Abraham Washington say, "You're fired," or, you know, "I'm dumping you, and now I got Wade Barrett to take me to the title. You're a loser." And that's, I think, how you do that.
I think you could take AW. I think even giving him a Diva, to challenge for the Diva title would work. I think you could do a lot of things. I'd like to see him wrestle any or manage anywhere from 4 to 6 characters, personally.
Yeah. Well, so, characters are, I mean, yeah. I think,
performers, yeah.
I said, I think you do that Hunico Camacho, you got Mark
Henry. I like
Henry,
that, yeah.
You have someone that said, like, maybe a Mason Ryan, and then you could have, like, a I don't know who, Natalia or something, right? I'm
trying the to Bella Twins.
Yes, oh, wait.
They're not coming back, folks.
Bella's go bye-bye. They're on their way to England, actually.
Yeah.
So they're going to do that. But,
they're
going to
be that.
They're
funny. You know what? They've decided themselves not to renew with the company.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of suspected that. I think it was about a month ago. I was on Twitter.
Right.
And the Bella Twins came up on Twitter, and I hit their link for some reason. Because I was wondering if they were, like, if they shared, if they had their own.
Oh, if they were individual.
Or if they were running it together.
One, yeah.
And I get on there, and I noticed that they had a website.
Right.
So I get on the website, which they're also running together, and I notice it really doesn't mention the WWE at all. This was about a month ago, and I thought that was strange.
Mm-hmm.
So that was kind of the first hint to me that they're probably not in this long term. So
right.
I'm not surprised at all.
Yeah, what are their names? They're like Garcia is the real, real last name. Yeah, so, no, and that's, I mean, that's, so it is what it is, and I mean, some people be sad that said it's the act itself, you know, of twins we talked about, you know, is you know, but I guess they're going to finish up the month is when it's over, so, and be done. But I don't know, there's Tamina as well.
Tamina would be good in there, actually. I like Tamina in the, with AEW. That works for me. So, yeah, and then one more guy. Preferably, I think, a guy who's like an actual wrestler, skilled wrestler type. The Kurt Hennig type, then, I think, if you look at that.
They already, but Dolph Ziggler has a manager.
That type, I said. Doesn't have to be him.
Oh.
Be, I don't know. Somebody like that, I think, would be
JTG?
Good too. No.
Oh.
Skilled.
Oh. He is the Tyson Kidd.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of...
I'm just trying... Yeah, I can't think of it either. But, right? But, yeah, I mean, maybe that's where you put a Tyler Black, right?
Yeah. Or what's his name there? Damian Sandow.
Yeah. So I think he can talk. I mean, it's funny to me. A lot of people are down on that character. They're not liking it at all, and I like it.
So far, so good. I mean, it's two promos, and so we'll see. I mean, because really we don't know what the character. I mean, all we know is that he's, you know, he thinks he's better than everyone.
I'd say it's old school heel.
Yeah.
It's a 70s heel to me. It's
Hunter Hearst Helmsley.
It is.
Right? And
yeah, it's a 70s heel. It's Nick Bockwinkel.
Yeah, same thing, right?
Yeah.
That's right. So, Mr. Bob Backlund, right?
Yep. Bob Backlund could be AW's last, the technical guy.
There you go.
He's got one last
run. He's got to run. Speaking of getting a run, wanted to mention good news we talked about.
All right.
Dennis Stamp.
Who?
Of Beyond the Mat fame.
Who?
On the guy on the trampoline.
I was going to say.
He beat cancer. It's cancer, and it's in remission, so that's good news. And I know this because Dennis Stanford had emailed us and told us that and wanted to mention that you can book him. He would like to get booked.
So there you go. Book it.
So you can book him.
Book it.
Dennis Stamp available for bookings.
There you go.
The website.
There you go.
So
Beyond the Mat.
So that's a good news story. Do we want to go the contrast to, say, what I would consider, I guess, a bad news story?
Scott Hall?
Ayo.
Yeah. Drunk, beating up his girlfriend.
Yeah.
You know what's still a good idea is if his son gets into the business.
Yes, it is. Oh, before. I mean, really. I mean, but the thing is, I mean, you talk about. I mean,
I'm gonna be honest with you. A year ago, when we were talking about, it was about a year ago when we were talking about Scott Hall.
You thought he'd be dead by now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about him at that convention or that wrestling event where he was.
They videotaped him or whatever,
yeah,
and he can do it. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
yeah,
I thought he'd be dead by now, but he had time. So I'm not surprised. But there is the feeling that this will end badly, and we're just waiting, and you just keep waiting.
Yeah, that's just it.
Then again, I'll be feeling that with Dennis Rodman for forever too, and he's still going.
Jake Roberts, right?
Jake Roberts, yeah.
But Jake, at least, I mean, Jake's kind of like the Keith Richards, you know, that'll just keep going. But no, I mean, it's one thing I will say for Scott Hall.
Has Jake ever told kids to stay off drugs?
Probably. Scott Hall, though, I mean, one thing I will say for him, apparently, I forget what his blood alcohol level was, but it was just tremendously high for at the time. Terribly coordinated then.
Yeah, yeah. You know. Speaking of coordination and beating cancer and all this and that.
Well, from, beating cancer to beating women.
Yeah, so. There you go. What did you think of the Daniel Bryan Piper's Pit?
Oh, you know, that was one of the highlights. We talked about on Raw, the highlight of, was the bloody punch and everything else kind of went to pot. The Piper's Pit with Daniel Bryan was, to me, pretty much the highlight of SmackDown. Not in so much, I mean, Piper got the company's point. I mean, he had people good chanting yes to starting to chant no.
Yeah.
Right? And he put over AJ.
Yeah.
Like a, not even like a million
you
bucks.
You sent me a text, you're like, she's so Elizabeth, it's not even funny.
Sorry, Daniel, you know, he just gets this way, it's okay, he's just upset. Piper, though, going, I watched you when, you come and you get run over by the Big Show, but you got up and you got guts, kid. And then you're going to do this, and then you do this, and I've seen you, and you're tough, and you're just, you've battled your whole life, and you don't need to take this from this Daniel Bryan. You're stronger than that. It reminded me of old school Raw with the don't spit in my face, John Cena.
Yep.
Like that style. He got it over. He got the whole thing over that Daniel's a prick, and she's this sweet, innocent person who is awesome.
And then Daniel proceeded to be a great prick.
And then he was. And even at the end, when after the main event, which involved Mean Gene Okerlund in a tag team match.
With Sheamus.
Daniel Bryan and all the legends come. And it was tremendous. Both heels actually were tremendous because all the legends around the ring, they did this wide shot. Well, they did this wide shot, and they showed everything, and all the legends come down and surround the ring. And Alberto Del Rio sneaks out through the crowd. But Daniel Bryan is right in Piper's face. Like, they're going at it, keeping it going, right?
Yep.
And that was, I thought that was great.
Yep, perfect. Daniel Bryan is just awesome.
Yeah, oh, tremendous. But as if Piper was on his game and put that angle over. Now, I said, I mean, my immediate thought was, what would he have done with Cena and Rock? He talked about them doing a 2 or a 6 build. And what would they have done of 10? If they'd done Piper's Pit and he was on that game with Rock and Cena to do that, you would have taken that 6 you were saying. It would have been at least a 7.
Yeah.
Then,
when he is at his best, he can sell.
Well, that's what he knows how to do. He knows how to get over an angle. And I was actually just impressed that Piper was able to had enough of had that backstory.
Well, the thing is, at the end of the day, the thing that people most want to see in wrestling, same as it is in UFC. I mean, UFC's down; its ratings are down, and this and that. But that's largely because
people are watching it online.
Well, there probably is some of that. but I mean, a lot of this just has to do with the product is stale because there's only so many different types of matches and so many different, and there's only so many characters who break out and there's so many upsets.
Tag team matches.
Yeah. One MMA company did try that, apparently. Yeah. It was actually pretty good.
Yeah. They also did midgets.
Yeah. Well, there
you
go.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome.
That would.
But my thing is at the end of the day, what you want to see is it's like these two monsters. This guy's great. This guy's great. They're both huge. Let's see him fight and see who wins because I don't know.
Yeah.
Or this guy's a great skill and this guy's great skill. Let's see them fight because let's see who has the most skill.
Cool.
It's not quite
part of
as sellable.
Part of that was Cena Rock.
Yeah. Exactly.
Who was actually going to win?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I mean, and that's what it should be with Cena and Lesnar, not all the other bullshit. And that's what had me most excited about Jericho Punk when it was, this guy has great skill and this guy has great skill.
Best
gonna,
in the world.
Who's going to be the
before
best?
Before Jerry Springer
you know?
Come
but
along.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's it, right?
And they've
yeah.
lost me now. With
oh,
this.
They've lost me.
They
both perform really well, but Jesus Christ, it's awful.
I just don't care.
I don't give a
shit. I heard this, and I don't remember somewhere.
It's like TNA.
But, and I don't remember who said it, and if I did, I would give them credit. But this, and it's very true, this is an angle for the Intercontinental title.
Yeah.
That's what this is, right?
Yeah.
And instead, it's for the WWE title. And, I mean, the one thing that will be good about the pay-per-view is that it is in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So we should mention, coming out of that SmackDown, Daniel Bryan and Sheamus, 2 out of 3 falls.
I like that, because it makes sense. It's like, hey, even if you beat me in 18 seconds, I still can beat you.
That's right.
That's the psychology behind it.
It is.
It's actually good booking.
And the fact that it's in Chicago, though, means that it's going to be a very pro-Bryan crowd.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Be. Yeah.
So that's going to make it interesting.
Yep.
You know, as well, just as a spectacle to watch, right?
Yep.
So, but I just think that was one of the things that come out of that Piper's Pit thing. But and that was the only thing. He did a great job. The angle itself isn't, you know, the AJ Bryan. While it's important, if Piper had that in him, I don't know what it would have been, but I would have found a better use for him.
Yeah.
But that is what they've got, so
yeah.
we'll go with that, right?
So what else you got on your old list there?
There's some new DVD releases coming out.
Okay.
And these are new cheap DVDs. They're going to be $10.
Okay.
Cheap Superstar Profile DVDs for $10. The first one is going to be of Zack Ryder.
Okay.
So, and then the second one is going to be of John Cena. Those are the two that they've mentioned so far.
Odd.
Yeah, I know. The Zack Ryder one, I thought, okay, that kind of makes sense.
These sound like one-disc things, DVDs.
Yeah, that's what they
Blu-ray
are. They're just little one-disc.
Cheap things.
Yeah, they're not going to have a liner.
So then, you know what, you either do it with the stars like Cena, or you do it with guys like, maybe they want to see how much Ryder can sell compared to Cena, who knows. Or what you do is you do it with a bunch of guys who don't deserve those 2 and 3 disc big sets.
Yeah, like
John Cena's not one of them. John Cena, you either do it with stars John Cena's level, or you do it with stars Zack Ryder's level.
John
you do both.
Cena to me sounds like a panic button, because they are. It's so funny that they're so protective and afraid of. We gotta have John Cena. And he just.
The product should be stronger than one character, and they've built the product, and it's a lot of it's their own blame. They've built John Cena to being bigger than WWE in their own minds.
In their own minds.
And
maybe in reality, because
I think probably
neither one is very big.
That's true. But I'd say that it might be true in reality, because you build it in your own minds and you present it that way for long enough, eventually perception becomes reality.
Well, yeah.
And so I'm not so sure they aren't there, that they haven't got John Cena to the point where he's bigger in the company. They're so afraid to take him off TV or do things with him, because, you know.
Because that's what should actually happen at this point, is that Brock Lesnar should destroy and murder John Cena, and John Cena should have to go home. This should be, you know,
and then,
Earthquake
and then,
Squash and Hogan on the Brother
and then
show,
it should
right?
be, it should be I lost to The Rock, and then Brock Lesnar beat me, and then there should be some soul-searching, some character development.
Part of it, though, are
the
injuries.
Coming through this.
Part of the injuries, Johnny coming back. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, with that interview with Pipsqueak Josh Matthews or something, right? But they need, or
in
that's where you send Jim Ross out.
Yeah,
to do that.
And you do it in his house.
And yeah, you do that, and so, but that's
John. The doctors say that they think you can be medically cleared. I don't know about that.
I don't know about that. See, well, they say, you know what, I've got a different opinion. And he is a doctor of thugonomics. So.
Fist bump.
So he would know.
He gave it to me there.
He would know, right? So
yeah.
It's, no, but then the comeback is SummerSlam.
Or it's even, I want to get back. The doctors are saying I can't come back.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Or the other way, you know.
Maybe
there's lots
he has
of ways
a concussion.
To do it. Yeah, whatever, you know. There's a lot of ways to do it. It doesn't mean he necessarily has to be off television completely, but it means he's not in the arena and you're doing different things and you don't see as
well,
much
Well, I think of things like when Bret Hart lost the Iron Man match.
Yeah.
You know, in 80. Through that sort of fit, and they played off that, and they kind of put it. But then, you know, when he was, because he went along to the Germany tour, and so they had that interview with them. I think Mr. Perfect was the one that conducted the interview where they were walking down, and they used clips of that over, you know, a few times. So
yeah, and they showed him on the set of Lonesome Dove.
Lonesome Dove, yeah.
You know, interviews there, and him saying, "Yeah, I don't know if I'm ever coming back," and this and that, you know, all this
and,
stuff.
But then as it got closer to.
Then he started having a heel to needle him.
Well, then he started, though. Well, he did have that, too, but then he started, you know, going, you know, it was a lot wrong. You know, I sit back and I keep thinking, you know, there was a lot that wasn't right in that match. You know, it was a 60-minute Iron Match. It wasn't a 62-minute Iron Man match. So I still should be the champion. So then you started to get that, you know, I want to come back and get my title, right? And then you get, Austin and Owen and Pillman were just, you know, digging it in, right? And so then he's coming back. So, but. You could do that with Cena, you know, just like we're going to get a medical update on John Cena. You could do that for a couple of weeks, and then we're going to hear from John Cena in his home where he's convalescing, you know, and then and then you get the whole, you know, I don't know.
And then you come back to the announcers, and this is where Ross would be great there, but you just come back to the announcers and you go, you know, I don't know if it's the, and this is what they should have done with Punk, and this is what they mentioned, the lacerations on his neck, but it's the psychological problems. It should have been, you know,
it should be.
He might be right physically, I'm not sure, but I'm not sure he'll ever be right mentally.
Yeah.
You know, that's, and but again, it's subtly, it's storytelling, and it's what they don't have any fucking idea to do.
Well, that's just it. I mean, because
you know what? They got to fill a fucking 1,000 hours a month of product, right? And that's part of it.
But then
they don't know how to do it.
Well, and again, it's part of it that they don't have the confidence to do it without John Cena.
They don't have the confidence
to
do it. Yeah.
They don't have the.
To tell you the truth, in some ways, I don't think they have the confidence to do it with. I don't know if they'd have the confidence to do it with Randy Orton. Nevertheless, John Cena. You know, I mean, Randy Orton.
Is he actually hurt?
He's out. But I mean, otherwise, they wouldn't. I don't know if they'd do something like this with him even. Like, I don't know if they have any confidence.
Yeah, well, I think with a Randy Orton, to me, it's Cena.
But Cena's the big one. Yeah,
the big
sure.
one. I mean, he wasn't
because
on that
Cena's
one.
Cena's the one who people feel shoved down their throat, and people want to see character development with.
And the funny part is that that TLC pay-per-view was the one that didn't have Cena for no reason, right?
Yeah.
Like just he wasn't on it.
Yeah.
And no difference.
No difference.
No difference. No, no buy rate difference, you know.
But you have to keep in mind, though, right up into the end when he said he was tweeting out things like, I'm looking forward to watching this at home. People on Twitter were reacting to him going, oh, I know you're in the building. I know you're going to be there. People still expect him to be there, and that was one of the things.
That's right. Well, and that's why you've got to, I said, now here we are in April, so it's going to be all of May, all of June, all of July.
Yeah.
And then, so you're going to be 3.5 months.
Well, if he kills him and he's back at SummerSlam for the rematch.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
That's what I mean. So you
because
get,
you know what if you have him against Lesnar 3 months in a row, and you draw a total of 400,000 buys.
Yeah.
I'd rather draw 500,000 once at SummerSlam.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you do it right.
Oh yeah. And I mean, but and you're looking. I mean, if they fought every month between now and SummerSlam.
Yeah.
April, May, June, July, August. That's 5 in a row.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Although one can be a handcuff match in June at No Way Out.
And then, but it'll have to follow the chain match. So,
and but Lesnar has experience in a chain match.
A biker chain match.
Biker chain match, yeah. So there you go. No, I think that 3 months he's out. May, June, July.
Yeah.
May, June, July he's out, right? So then you got, and then August he comes back. So for the first month, it's medical updates. For the second month, it's interview of him. of him not sure. And in the third month, it's him training for his comeback on the backdrop of fucking Clubber Lang, a.k.a. Brock Lesnar, training his
ass. That's where I was going to go. How the fuck did you know that's where I was going to go?
Well, it's the same as Rock and
Rocky
Rock, 3. Right?
I was going to say, it's Rocky 3. Rocky 3 was the biggest box office success of any of the movies. And there's a point in that...
Because of Thunderlips.
Well, he'll tell you. But there's a point in that movie where he loses to Clubber Lang. He gets his ass kicked.
Yeah.
And he's training, and he just gives up. He stops running.
Yeah.
And his wife goes and basically verbally kicks his ass, right?
That's right.
But you felt for the character.
What's the matter with you?
Yeah, exactly.
What's the matter with you?
But that's the thing, though. I mean, you felt for the character. It's like, you know what? It wasn't that he physically couldn't fight Clubber Lang. Mentally, he had given up.
Well, because
and when he overcame that, you were really behind him. So when he finally gets in the ring with Clubber Lang at the end of that movie... You're really into it. You're cheering for Rocky so much, and you feel for him so much. And that's what they're failing to do with a guy like Cena, and that's what they fail to do with almost anything.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. But I think
that movie is the perfect psychology for how to build a wrestling feud.
Well, I think that Vince Russo then needs to be John Cena's manager.
And get killed.
At Extreme Rules.
And get killed by
because he dies.
I think I'd be happy if it was done.
Yeah.
To be honest, or Gerwurtz, or, you know.
Gerwurtz, yeah.
It's going to be, if it's Laurinaitis like it is now, that'll work too.
That's true.
So, all right, let's move on. What else you got written down there?
One thing I wrote, as I was watching Raw, actually, I thought this was interesting. It's the only sort of match result that I wrote down. But Brodus Clay pinned Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
Did anything stand out to you there at all?
Maybe it should be pay-per-view other than that. No, honestly, you have a guy who's getting a push. You have a guy who never wins.
I just look at, you know, I don't know. I just look at it.
I don't think it does further damage to Ziggler because I think he's already damaged, so I don't think it matters. If it did further damage to him, but I think
But Brodus is starting to come off as more of a comedy on that Santino type level now. Now that he's kind of
WrestleMania hurt for that.
Yeah, WrestleMania hurt, and even the post the last couple of weeks when he's been with Santino, it hasn't helped his cause. And just the fact that he beat. I mean, and Shawn Michaels. I mean, I remember Shawn Michaels getting squashed by Akeem. So, I mean, this doesn't, you know...
That's what I was going to say. 2 years from now, I'd be willing to bet that Dolph Ziggler has a chance to be one of the main events of WrestleMania, and Brodus Clay doesn't. That's why I don't care.
Yeah. No, no, and that's... Then that WrestleMania live on iPay-Per-View.
But, yeah. No, not on Live Fight. Go Fight Live, because...
apparently YouTube looking to get into the iPay-Per-View business.
That's big.
Yeah, that could be big. So.
Could be big.
But no, that's the only other thing that I had written down was because I just didn't want to go up to the email. But we did get an email question that I got. It was Thomas from Michigan, it says.
Yeah, I thought you were going to go to a different email, but we're not going to that one.
Oh!
No, we're not. Fucking not. Okay. Go on to Thomas's question.
Thomas wants to know if Mickey James will date Luke Hudson.
No.
Because he loves her.
You realize I'm editing that out.
Oh, no. Thomas from Michigan would like to know, we talked about brother tag teams before.
Yo-yo.
We talked about brother tag teams. Thomas wants to know who our favorite tag team is. And who we think the best tag team is.
It's funny because I got a similar question from Leif Lightfoot over in Scotland.
Oh.
But he said he had prefaced it by saying the team should have been together by 2 years. So let's use that. So we like say Owen and Davey Boy can't be a team because they weren't together for at least 2 years.
Well, they probably were off and on. But anyway.
But you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's okay.
He's trying. I got it. But I had a similar question. That's cool that we got that. So over a Scottish guy and a guy in Michigan.
They're probably the same person.
Yeah. So, anyways, I'll give you right now. What do you want to do first? Favorite or best?
Best.
Best. Yeah, I think the best tag team I ever saw was the Miracle Violence Connection. Over in Japan, Steve Williams and Terry Gordy.
Okay.
I think is the best team I ever saw. Both of those guys were awesome. Their chemistry together was awesome. They're working with the best workers on the in the planet.
Right.
They were devastating and huge, and yet knew wrestling moves and were agile. They were the best. Followed very, very closely.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'd say the British Bulldogs.
Yeah, that
is. Like, it's like a 10.0 to a 9.99.
Oh, yes.
The British Bulldogs for me are the second best I ever saw. Then I'd probably go with the Stan Lane. I think Stan Lane and beautiful Bobby Eaton, Midnight Express, and then the Hart Foundation. Those are kind of, I think, the best teams I personally ever saw.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I don't go with any of the guys, oddly enough, in that 90s, despite how hot, you know, in the Attitude Era those teams
right.
were. I don't really think of anybody there.
Well, yeah. No, but, and you know what? I was going to say the British Bulldogs. The Hart Foundation is there as well. The Steiner brothers.
Steiners are awesome.
I really like the Steiner brothers.
The Steiners, when they were,
well, you know?
Yeah, the Steiners, they were terrific when they were.
Kind of around that 92, 93.
Yeah, they were an awesome team. And you know what? There was a point where America Violent Connection and Steiners were built and going together, and that was awesome stuff.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of anybody.
I don't put the Road Warriors up there myself.
I
know they're great, and they're a great gimmick.
Yeah.
They're not a great team for me.
No, I was not an ever. You know who I did really.
And being a WWE guy, I mean, I saw Demolition first, so that probably.
Who I really enjoyed as a team as well were the Rougeau brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought they used a lot of tandem maneuvers, like a lot of high impact off the top. You know, like a Fez press into a Boston Crab, or do the Boston Crab, do the leg drop back on them. When you talk about the 90s, one thing they didn't have was a lot of tandem maneuvers.
No, like you really didn't see that.
I mean, you had the 3D for the Dudleys. But I mean,
the 3D, and you had the was up, right? And that's
for the Dudleys, but like Edge and Christian didn't have, say, a finishing maneuver. You know,
no. We have what? Poetry in Motion with the Hardys.
Oh, well, yeah, but that wasn't really a finisher, though.
No,
really
didn't. But I'm just saying.
They
general,
were almost like the
moves.
Rockers and did, like, a top rope. But I think they did, like, a leg fist combo or something early. You know, Too Cool didn't have a finisher, per se. You know, like, they had the worm that he did. But, I mean, they didn't have a tandem and a hip-hop drop or whatever from Christopher. But they didn't have a tandem one, right? And, I mean, I look at one of my favorite teams from the early 90s. Was also Money Incorporated.
See, and I never really was that big on them.
Didn't have a tandem thing. Well, I liked them because they kind of were different in that they stood out because of that.
Yeah.
That when you had, like, High Energy dress up like each other, Nasty Boys dress up like each other, the Natural Disasters, or, you know, the Beverly Brothers, the Legion of Doom, and then you had Money, Inc. that come together, it's conceivable that a rich guy and a tax guy would get together, and it made sense, but again, they were almost like two singles come together, kind of like Owen and Bulldog, where they didn't have a name, right?
That's why probably two other teams that you know what, both the Briscoes and the Kings of Wrestling over in ROH, I've always loved their work. They weren't together long enough, but I mean, I would have put Daniels and AJ together because I mean, their run was great, and Beer Money, they were a great act, but I wouldn't put these guys at the very top.
I think Motor City, right?
Yeah, the Rockers to me are about the same level as the Rougeaus. I like them, but are they not right at that top level?
I always had a
Furnace and LaFon and World's Greatest Tag Team. Both were fantastic.
Yeah, Guerreros.
Well, I mean that era was the tag teams when you had Benoit, Angle, and the Guerreros and
it was Edge and Ray.
And Ray. I mean, that shit was awesome.
Yeah.
Right. But again, I don't think any of those guys would be there.
La Resistance.
No.
Hurricane and Rosie.
No.
Caden Murdoch.
No.
But I think that
Too Cool.
No. I for me, it's the Bulldogs stand out at the top, and then I'd go with the Hart Foundation, and then I'd probably say, you know, the Rougeaus is the third.
Okay. Well, I mean, the thing is, you don't really mention. Yeah, I mean, that's it. I mean, the Steiners. Probably you're all for NWA. I probably put the Steiners right behind Midnight Express for my favorite NWA WCW team there.
Yeah.
You know, again,
Harlem Heat. I was a big
Harlem
fan
Heat
of Harlem
Heat. I'm a big fan of Harlem Heat, but again, I wouldn't put them at the very best.
I'd put them in that like that. Fit. If they're probably fourth, fifth, kind of in that there. Yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't think as a team they were that. We're still talking best and not favorite. Right?
Yeah, best, yeah.
We're talking best and not favorite. This is a different thing. Favorite, maybe I have them higher, but for best, I'm not. I mean, they're not going to be up there. I'm not going to put them up there with the best. I can't do it.
Well, you're talking best in terms of best technical worker best is what you're talking about.
Well, because there is a difference between best and favorite, right? Who's the best?
No, but I don't. But best, I mean, you're talking best technical worker. Well, two bruisers can be that, and that's really to me what Harlem Heat was. Where they
Miracle Violence Connection,
they were bigger, right? So yeah, but they still had some. They still had technical. I guess that was more Williams that did. But I would put them high up there. Anyway, not in the top.
I wouldn't put them up there. But for favorites for me, and it is the Heart. It is the British Bulldogs and the Hearts, and probably Calgary Connection has a lot to do with it. Plus their matches were so good. I watched them through Stampede Wrestling. There was a Stampede Wrestling team that was together that I loved, and that was Owen Hart and Ben Bassarab. I was a huge fan of those two as a Calgary team in Stampede Wrestling. So those are kind of the ones that stick off. But the British Bulldogs, as far as favorite, that's my all-time favorite team. Still pound for pound, the best wrestler maybe I ever saw was Tom Billington.
So when we're talking about favorite again, I did favor Money Incorporated. We're talking favorite just because we mentioned them before. But yeah, the Bulldogs were a favorite. The Demolition,
yeah,
definitely a favorite. I liked. Strike Force as well. They weren't around for the 2 years.
Yeah.
There,
I don't think they had the... No, I guess they probably didn't.
They weren't around for 2 years, no. But I looked at, as I said, the Rougeaus were a favorite of mine.
If I'm talking favorites, I have the Outsiders up there as favorites. Not as best, but as favorites. That act was so good and so over and entertained me so much. So much of what they did, you know?
Trying to think of a WCW team that...
You know who was Faces of Fear was a WWE
team. That's what
WCW
I was thinking, Faces of Fear that I was...
I thought they were really, really underrated.
I liked the fit because I thought it two guys that had a connection and a niche to be able to... They were a good...
they just worked well together.
Team, yeah, if they did. Yeah. I liked them, and I'm trying to think of anybody... you know who I really liked in WCW in the early 90s, kind of that 93, 94, was pretty wonderful.
Really?
Paul Orndorff and Paul Roma.
Really?
I liked the act. It was, when you had the, it was Romeo Roma or whatever he was, he was Pretty Paul Roma, is what he was, right? And he had the pretty, and then he had Mr. Wonderful that was this, and he had kind of a younger guy that had been around for a long time. Not these aren't great workers, or at least Roman, and certainly not Orndorff at that point. But Orndorff had his big run. So to put them together, I thought that was a good act.
Yeah, that was, it's probably, sometimes the sum of the parts is, I mean, the Hart Foundation, for instance.
Yeah.
Some of the parts is better because Neidhart's just really not that good. And Brett's obviously one of the all-time greats, but Neidhart's not that good. But Neidhart was never better than in that team. And just the idea of the bruiser and the speed technical guy.
We had a
role,
right?
You don't see enough of that,
right? Yeah, exactly.
And so, it highlighted his strengths, right? It was great. The Eliminators over in ECW were awesome.
Yes. Kronos and Saturn.
Yeah, they were. I thought they were fantastic. I should mention them as well. So,
I'm trying to think of anybody else that... that really sort of stands out, and I can't. Techno Team 2000, maybe.
Too cool.
Too cool. Yeah. No, I
take
APA.
APA.
The APA. I like the
APA
that,
was bruisers, and they were a good act, but I wouldn't. I probably liked them
like
them more than I thought they were great. But I would like.
Look,
them.
I mean, we're talking. Yeah. We're into like now, right?
Into like,
so
yeah.
That's,
I like them a lot. Yeah.
So, talk about favorite teams of
it's
all
funny,
time.
Yeah.
Favorite tag teams. Favorite when you talk about people that just sort of belong together. Mickey James and Luke, what's his name? Luke Hudson. Great team, great pair there. Maybe that's just Mickey that has a great pair. But EO 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 EO.
funny.
Yes, it is. No, the APA is Barroom Brawlers, though. Like, yeah. when they were the APA, not
about
the Acolytes.
How about the New Age Outlaws?
Yeah, well, again,
I think as far as entertainment, not a great team.
Walking
but
to the ring, sure.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, they, you know, I really like their act, right?
I thought a good team, we talk about the sum of the parts, was X-Factor. Was X-Pac and Just Incredible.
That was it when X-Factor, X-Pac had his most go-away heat, though, right?
I don't care. I just thought as a team, if you were going to do something with X-Pac at that point, a tag team was going to be good for him because no one liked him as a single. And you put him with his buddy, with PJ, and you just Incredible, and you put them together, and you make him a team. It didn't last long enough.
No.
But I thought it didn't. I mean, it might have had tag team run potential eventually, but it was a good sort of pairing. And again, at that point, coming just as the Money Incorporated, while they got the name, they were two single guys that really come together. Back then, you were coming off a time where it was, you know, Owen Hart and Jeff Jarrett, Ken Shamrock and the Big Boss Man, you know, Test and Albert. Some of these guys, whereas to be called X Factor or the New Age Outlaws, that was, or the APA, you know, that kind of, yeah, Edge and Christian was another example of this.
Yeah.
I mean, so you, to have a name,
yeah,
and a gimmick, or not, maybe not a gimmick, but a name and a pairing and a deal, a package deal like that
was kind of why when he said 2 years, I kind of understood what he was talking about.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, you can talk about the Brothers of Destruction, and they're great, but I can't really put them in there, right? As great an act as it was a short-term act, you know?
Yeah,
so.
I don't know that it was a great, necessarily, act. I was never a big fan. That, to me, is when Undertaker had his most go-away heat.
Okay.
So.
Well, okay. Well, I think it was, okay, but let's put Vader and Mankind. I don't know. Whatever.
Right,
or,
right.
Like,
you know what I'm saying,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Headbangers.
No.
No. Godwins.
No.
No? Tex Lassinger and Shanghai
no.
Pierce?
Nobody, nothing
Southern
in that.
Justice?
Nothing in that 94-95.
The Body Donnas?
No. No.
The New Rockers?
Fuck no.
The Smoking Guns?
No.
The Smoking Guns had been actually probably the top of that.
They were probably the best of team
in WWE
at the time.
Yeah.
They were ahead of Man on the Mission, that's true.
Yeah, not the Quebecers, though. Or the Head Shrinkers, actually. But that little bit predates it. The Head Shrinkers kind of predated that a little bit until they become like the new Head Shrinkers with the Barbarian Sione, right? So
yeah, exactly.
But no, that was the last thing that I had written down. So unless you've got another question,
like no, it's pretty much the same question I had, which is cool.
Which okay, it was about the tag team, yeah. So that's about. I mean, again, it's very easy to know. That it's very easy to tell, I should say, that WrestleMania is over.
Yeah.
And one of the nice parts, though, about having WrestleMania is that when WrestleMania was on and between the Rumble and WrestleMania is, you know, we're very sort of television-focused. What did they do to further this angle? What are they going to do with this? Whereas now that WrestleMania is over, it is going to kind of afford us this ability to go back to more of these sort of kind of quick hit sort of stuff.
We've had a couple of requests for some more independents and stuff like that. So we'll probably.
That's why I talked about Colt Cabana, your new NWA champion.
Covered.
Yeah, see? Independents.
We're there for you.
We are there for you. That's right. No, I think that, we can, exactly, some more independence.
Just some more theoretical stuff and fun, and probably a few more guests.
Yeah.
Fake and real.
Real?
Well, we hope so in a few weeks.
Right, that's right. You got that thing there
that
I'm hopefully going to be able to attend.
See how it works.
Yeah.
All right, man. So I think that's it. Why don't you just do whatever
want? I was going to say, we've got Raw in England tomorrow as well, so that'll be interesting. I assume SmackDown's over there as well.
Yeah.
And so we'll have to see. These are, again, generally speaking, fairly lame duck shows. I mean, we're going to get the spoilers to be able to be read, you know, tomorrow afternoon kind of thing. And, so we'll see. I'm surprised we didn't rip the Three Stooges more, to be honest. But
Will Sasso, I like Will Sasso, so I'm not gonna rip it.
You enjoyed Will Sasso, did you?
I liked Will Sasso. I mean, good Canadian boy. What the hell? I don't know. Mad TV. His Steven Seagal was awesome.
You know where he was really good was if there's that, and I have the DVD somewhere, is that Triple H the game one where he goes backstage at Mad TV and he does a Macho Man actually.
He's doing all the imitations and stuff to
remember?
Triple H trying to walk away.
Yeah, he's
awesome. No, I like him. It's funny because they also like him. Apparently, they like him backstage. WWE really likes him.
So he'll be a writer.
He doesn't really have much of a career. Maybe he could go in and do something with him, you know, a writer or something else. But it's funny because they really like him, whereas everybody at Mad TV hated his guts.
Oh, really?
But then again, he was the breakout star, and that's generally a lot of jealousy.
Then you get heat, It's like The Rock.
Okay.
Well, that's going to do it for this week. You can go to Twitter, at WeTalkWrestling. We've got a Facebook site up finally. It's facebook.com/WeTalkWrestling. You want to talk to Mo? I'm not quite sure why you'd want to, but it's Mo.
Don't. I had 3 fucking questions this week. Enough.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mo@WeTalkPodcast.com.
I thought I said no.
And it's Addie, ADDIE, @WeTalkWrestling.com, because I'm proud of our show. And I think we've got WeTalkWrestling.com. Is the website where you can get on and get the show. So
you can go there too. Yeah. So I just want to say, those of you asking about our latest April Day's Fool's show, who made the comments and such, April Fool's Day show, who made the comments and such. I had a couple of these vodka milkshakes again, but made the comments about the pitcher. Those of you who are just hilarious, that pitcher
is not me.
No, that's not. I'm not that fat.
Oh, please.
That's Bastion Booger. That's not a picture of me.
Really?
I'm not that fat or hairy.
Huh. Your father is Bastion Booger? No wonder you love wrestling so much. He was Muckin Singh here in Calgary for a time, so I can see the connection. You know, now that you say that,
I'm not that fat or hairy.
Hmm? Well, no, he's an MMA fighter now. So that's different. But, you know, I will vouch for Mo. He is not that hairy. So.
Or fat. Well, actually, tell you the truth, I might be hairy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Look at that.
No.
Look at all that hair.
No. Okay, there may not be a show
it?
Next week, folks.
That's disturbing.
I may be enveloped. But that's going to do it for this week. So, in the meantime and in between time.
I have that hair because I'm a man.
That's it. Another edition of We Talk Wrestling. Good night, folks.
O-U-T.
Maybe forever.